Hello, and welcome to Tantrum Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Friday, December 10th. Coming up on today's show, we bring you the highlight reel from Wednesday's rally in support of the Sackville Memorial Hospital, and an exchange in the New Brunswick legislature between Memramcook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten and Premier Blaine Higgs, also about, you guessed it, the fate of the Sackville Hospital. We also look at the town of Sackville's response to local government reform minister Danielle Alain about his plan to amalgamate Sackville, Dorchester, and surrounding areas. But first, some more local news and information. A 105-year-old wooden church in Chemeguay has been destroyed by fire. St. Timotei Catholic Church caught fire early Thursday morning, and firefighters from five area departments responded to the blaze. The RCMP have arrested a 26-year-old man from Capelay in relation to the fire. About 100 to 150 people attended the church before COVID-19, and the community had been working to preserve the wooden building. The New Brunswick RCMP's Major Crime Unit is investigating the homicide of a man in Petit Cap. On December 8th at about 12:40 a.m., Shediac RCMP responded to a report of a break and enter at a residence on Route 950 in Petit Cap. When police arrived, they discovered the body of a deceased man, later identified as 55-year-old Nicholas Trenholm. Police are looking for two men involved in the incident who fled the scene in a vehicle before police arrived. They are interested in speaking to anyone who lives in the area who may have video surveillance footage or who witnessed suspicious activity in the late evening hours of December 7th or the early morning hours of December 8th. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to contact the RCMP Major Crime Unit. On Thursday, New Brunswick recorded its highest ever single-day new case count, with 174 new cases of COVID-19, most of them of unknown origin, reported by Public Health. More than half of the new cases, 94 of them, were reported in the Fredericton region. And just under half of the new cases are in children. 44 of the new cases reported Thursday were in kids under 10, and another 38 are in kids under 19 and under. Another two people, both in their 50s, died from COVID-19, bringing the provincial death toll to 138. There are now 892 active cases of COVID-19 in New Brunswick and 167 in Zone 1. A pediatric COVID-19 vaccine clinic is slated for this Saturday at the Sackville Visitor Information Center, open to any kids between 5 and 11 years old. Then on Sunday, the center will host a vaccination clinic for anyone 12 and over. Another clinic on December 17th will be open to kids and adults. Anyone 50 and over who's had their second shot before June 30th is eligible for a third booster dose. Over in Moncton, three staff in the COVID-19 unit at the Moncton Hospital have tested positive for COVID-19. Horizon says the transmission occurred at the hospital and so has declared an outbreak in the unit. Enhanced cleaning and personal protective equipment protocols were already in place on the unit since it is the COVID-19 unit of the hospital. As of this morning, 32 patients and 11 staff have tested positive for COVID-19 in relation to outbreaks in five units at the hospital, including those most recent three cases. Horizon says it continues to test patients and staff regularly. Local leader Margaret Tuzking is looking for people interested in talking about climate change, income security, and community resilience this Monday. As part of the Green Resilience Project, Tantramar is one of 40 communities across Canada invited to host conversations with people who are or who will be most affected by climate change, to provide perspectives and recommendations to a national project aimed at influencing public policy going forward. Tuzking says she expects Tantramar residents will have a lot to say, given local issues of inland and coastal flood risks and lower than the national average median incomes in the mostly rural area. The Green Resilience Project is organized by climate crisis and basic income advocacy groups. Tuzking has room for up to 30 people to attend the meeting on Monday evening, and anyone interested can get in touch with her by email. Check chmafm.com for contact information. The town has released a copy of the letter it sent to local governance reform minister Danielle Alain on behalf of council. The letter was approved in Monday's public council meeting, but the discussions about what went in the letter were held in camera. Here's town CAO Jamie Burke talking to council on Monday before a nearly unanimous vote to approve the letter.
Anybody who's read the white paper, the devil is largely in the details, and which are details that we currently do not have. So we could, there's obviously the variety of suggestions that are in that white paper cause some concerns and challenges for us as a municipality, mainly on the operational side of things, from a certainly taxation being one, but also municipal contracts and other finance administrative issues. So I guess in the meantime, until we know what those details are, we could just wait and take a wait-and-see approach, and that's certainly not the suggestion that I'm going to suggest publicly, and certainly that you've been advised of in camera.
One of the key criticisms in the town's letter to Alain is that the transitional powers the province is taking over municipalities for the next year are just too wide-ranging and undemocratic. The letter suggests Alain ensures that currently elected municipal councils are fully consulted and have control of their decision-making powers throughout the transition. The letter also says the timeline for the transition is too ambitious and hostile, and suggests a two-year timeline for the restructuring. The letter raises a number of concerns about taxation and the challenges of consolidating three fire departments, two water distribution systems, and two separate policing contracts. There's also the issue of the collective agreement with Sackville Town staff, which is set to expire this year. Approval of the letter around the council table was nearly unanimous, with one holdout. Councillor Matt Estabrooks declined approval of the letter, saying he supports the local governance plan as is.
In regards to the recently released white paper on local governance reform, I would like to state that I'm in favor of the report. I believe this will be a positive, much-needed change for our town. I see this white paper and its suggested reforms as a continuation of the visions laid out by Louis Robichaud with his equal opportunity reforms of the 60s and followed up by Jean-Guy Finn with his Building Stronger local governance report released in 2008. These changes are necessary to move us forward toward a more equitable, democratic, responsive, and efficient local government structure in New Brunswick. I would urge everyone to read both of these previous reports in entirety, followed them by the recently released white paper. I believe this would shed different light onto the decisions made. Our local population consists of folks who live in Dorchester or Pointe de Butte and work in Sackville. They also travel here for shopping, recreation, entertainment, events, etc. We also drive from Midgick or Aulac to West Sackville to visit with family on the weekends. Our larger community already encompasses all of the areas identified in Entity 40 in the report. Entity 40 is who we are, and it captures everyone who currently resides and uses the services Town of Sackville provides. The entity groupings in the white paper make sense to me. I do recognize that our council objected to any forced amalgamation in a letter to the Deputy Minister back in July. However, I believe it quite naive to think that this would have stopped Sackville and Dorchester from being amalgamated when given a more detailed look. Logistically, geographically, and financially long-term, this amalgamation makes sense. To continue to suggest that it should not be carried out is far too parochial in thought. We need to have a greater, longer-term vision than that for our community.
That was Matt Estabrooks speaking at Town Council on Monday. Councillor Bill Evans was one of the other seven councillors who voted in favour of the critical letter sent by the town to Minister Alain. On Monday, Evans expressed some of his frustration, not just with the plan, but also with the slow response from the town of Sackville.
I'm extremely frustrated and disappointed with the contents of the white paper released on November 18th, which blindsided us with this forced amalgamation. I was also frustrated and disappointed by the lack of an official response from our town and the difficulties council experienced organizing ourselves. The minister is a charming and genial man who said all the right things to make people feel good about this long overdue process. He took great pride when he said that he was going to get it done where others had failed. And make no mistake, we all agreed that it needed to be done. Everyone agreed that it was a problem that 30% of the citizens of the province were disenfranchised at the local level. that municipalities were providing services to people living in unincorporated areas without collecting their fair share of municipal taxes, that there was a lack of land use planning in unincorporated areas, and many other governance issues. But one thing that only the minister mentioned was his concern with the large number of entities in the province. I have no idea why this relatively large number of entities was singled out. There was never any explanation of how this constituted a problem. How is it that the existence of more of something is inherently a problem? The population of Sackville is greater than the population of Dorchester. So what? If there are 300 entities or if there are only 90, what difference does it make, as long as they are sustainable and self-governing? The minister said, somewhat disingenuously, that he had heard from people that this was a problem. Well, perhaps he heard it from his staff, because I attended many meetings on this subject and no one representing any of these many entities ever raised the number of them as being a problem.
That was Councillor Bill Evans speaking at Town Council on Monday. On Wednesday, about 250 people gathered at the Sackville Memorial Hospital to rally in support of continued services at the Rural Hospital. Today, we bring you some of the voices from that rally.
Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me? I'm Joyce O'Neill, and I'm your MC for this event. I'm here for the same reason that you have all come, and that is with our deep concerns that we are experiencing for the loss of our hospital services. I remember the first hospital that was built here in Sackville in 1946, and it was run by a board of directors and trustees. Over the years, I have seen millions of dollars donated by citizens from Sackville and the surrounding areas to ensure our hospital was well-staffed and had up-to-date equipment to work with. Since Horizon has taken over the operation of our hospital, we have seen drastic changes, which we are all aware of. The problems we are seeing today and fearfully in the upcoming months is not caused by our doctors, nurses, and staff here at our Sackville Memorial Hospital, but by the powers that be are in charge. Our staff must know that we realize the unrest that they must feel from day to day, and we pass along our sincere thanks to all of them for being there when they are allowed to do so.
Can everybody hear me okay? Thank you. I've got these notes here. I've never spoken to such a large crowd before, so bear with me, please. But what I have written here comes from the heart. I'm so proud of my community today. And once again, we are facing the future of our hospital being under attack, and I wish it wasn't that way. We are exhausted from this pandemic, exhausted from having to fight this fight every few years. In that regard, I want to say thank you to the healthcare workers at the Sackville Memorial Hospital for the work that they do. We are here for you, and we appreciate your efforts. Thank you. I want to also thank John Hyam, Pat Esterbrooks, Margaret Tusking, and the Rural Health Action Group for their hard work on this ongoing issue. They have been absolutely dedicated to this task, doing the heavy lifting. So let's give them that thanks that they deserve. As Mayor and Council, we are fully in support of the letter that John, Pat, and Margaret have sent to the Premier, Minister of Health, and the CAO of Horizon, outlining objections with how the province and Horizon continue to whittle away at our hospital. I'm going to ask each of us to help the Rural Action Health Group. Send your letter and email to the Premier, the Minister of Health, the CAO of Horizon. More voices need to be heard. Your voices need to be heard, and they do matter. There needs to be a hospital plan in place that survives the whims of election cycles. Money spent on healthcare and healthcare professionals will always be money well spent. A fully functioning hospital for health of our community is the foundation of which to build everything else: education, business, the environment, and our families and our neighborhoods. Thank you all for being here today. And thank you all for, again, once standing up and supporting our community hospital.
I only have a couple notes to say. I'll keep it short. Port Elgin has a little different perspective. Port Elgin's community is a little bit of lower income and a lot of elderly people, and we cannot survive without a hospital. When we don't have an ER that's open 24/7, people don't go to the ER, and the problems get worse.
Nurses, doctors, and staff need to know they have a comparable wage and job security and a safe environment in which to work. And as bonus, Sackville surrounding area is a great place to live and raise their family here. And we are here, all here, to support the hospital workers.
I will keep this very short. All the reasons why we need to fight to keep this hospital open and actually to grow have been mentioned, so I won't repeat everything. But I want everybody to know that Bebronkok is standing strong with our neighbors. The hospital is a very, very important component of economic development and community development as a whole. And it's very, very important that we do not forget that rural New Brunswick has a place within the province, and we cannot forget that. So Memorocook is standing strong, and I want to reiterate the fact that we're here to support Sackville, Port Elgin, Dorchester, and working together with our neighbors. Thank you.
We can do it. I know we can. It's going to be a tough and interesting path, but this is the first step. I know we've had some steps in the past where we thought we were going, but now we really need to make this happen. We need the leadership that you've heard here. We need the leadership of the community and the involvement of the community, which we're seeing here. And we need to get the ears of those who make those decisions. We need you to participate in that. We need you to keep that authority, that push for authority out up there, so that they know that this isn't a one-time off. This is going to happen until we get this done right.
Hear, hear.
And that's what we need to aim for. Yeah. Sackville built this Sackville Memorial Hospital, and we can rebuild it better in modern times with modern technology and respectful for the workforce that's there. That's what we got to aim for. It takes a whole community to do that. I know I'm going to butcher this, but Chief Knockwood used a term that applies today and should apply to us, which I believe was like Mitsu no Komak, which means all my relations. We do it together. It's not direct relations. It's everybody who shares our community. And that should be our word of how it can guide us for how we can make this hospital what we need it to be. Thank you.
So hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. And I also want to give a special thank you to our students that are here. I see you in the crowd, and we're all very happy that you came out to join us. So thank you. My name is Hannah Ehler, and I'm the Vice President External Affairs at the Mount Allison Students Union. We represent 2,200 plus students in this town, whether they are here physically or remotely, given the hybrid models that have been in place. But these are all students, nonetheless, that enrolled in our university with the expectation that there would be 24/7 healthcare right down the road from our university. So I come giving a couple of messages to two groups in particular. The first is to Horizon Health and the government, and I want to say we are concerned and we are frustrated. Not only are there reduced healthcare services at the hospital, I am concerned about that, but I am also concerned about where they are going. Moncton is quite inaccessible for a lot of our students, particularly first-year students and international students, who do not always have access to vehicles to get there in the case of an urgent situation. I also want to express frustration. The MASU executive and students as individuals have been writing about this. We have been writing letters and sending them to the government, and we have been expressing concerns in meetings up until this point, and the action is still going backwards. Similarly to messaging with Mount Allison and with the community, with the action group, and with everyone, we are wondering too, where is the urgency behind this situation? Why is this not being treated as critical as it is?
But as other speakers have pointed out today, the pressing issue now is to retain the staff that remain. As a community, we need to make them know how much we need and appreciate them. We need to break through the barriers created by COVID and horizonization. I think that's not in Google, but... and ensure that these workers, whether they be physicians or nurses, cooks and cleaners, lab and radiology techs, are valued and needed. That they are community, and in Sackville, we look after each other. Thank you.
I was a nurse here for 44 years. And I think I know what this community needs. We need this hospital. We need a merge and acute care. Just think of the population from Cape Tormentine to Membram Cook, and 2,000 plus students in that mix. And they don't want us to have acute care and emergency. It just boggles our mind, eh? I feel Horizon has driven nurses away by the closures, the threat of the closures. I know of a family that has moved here in, I believe, mid-June. The mother is a nurse. She inquired about a job. She was told there was no openings. Yes, she was told there was no openings. She went across the marsh to Amherst. Is that what recruitment is? Thank you for listening.
I was a board member for 9 years, and on that fateful day back in February 2020, I was chair of the foundation. You will recall that the reforms that were coming in made it look like they were going to close our hospital down. I remember being asked by the media how I felt, and at the time I said I was blindsided. I noticed in the paper yesterday one of our citizens was asked about these changes. She said she was blindsided. And if we don't do something, we're going to be really blindsided again. So I think that we have to take action very, very, very soon, like yesterday. Today, my message is pretty simple. To the Premier Higgs, to Dorothy Shepherd, to Horizon Health and Dr. Dornan, stop messing with our hospital. By messing with our hospital, you are undermining our entire community. You are undermining our university. And we are angry about this. Why would nurses want to stay in this hospital or even apply for jobs in this hospital, given the uncertainty of the hospital? Why would
people want to move to this community, given the uncertainty of the hospital. Why would students come to Mount Allison? Or why would parents want them to send them here, given the uncertainty of this hospital? Why would developers come in and want to do anything in this community, given the uncertainty of the hospital? And to be perfectly honest, we kind of have to think, why would somebody like me want to stay here if we don't have a hospital? This is just not acceptable. So I guess I repeat, stop messing with our community, stop messing with our hospital, stop messing with our university, be reasonable, come forward and do what is right. And so Premier Higgs, Minister Shepherd, Horizon Health, I want you to stop the bleeding, do the surgery that has to be done to bring this hospital back to its healthy state that we need in our community. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out, and let's continue to voice our concerns and fight for all services that they be restored immediately with full staff in our departments. Thank you again.
That was former Sackville Town Councillor Joyce O'Neill wrapping up a rally at the Sackville Hospital on Wednesday. Before that, you heard from Elaine Smith, Audrey Hicks, Ross Thomas, Hannah Ehler, John Hyam, and the four area mayors, Maxime Bourgeois of Memramcook, Debbie Wiggins-Caldwell of Dorchester, Jason Stokes of Port Elgin, and Sean Michaud of Sackville. Before we leave you today, here's Memramcook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten in the legislature this week, questioning Premier Blaine Higgs about the state of the Sackville Memorial Hospital.
Mr. Speaker, I don't trust what this government says about health care. In February 2020, the Premier announced cuts to six rural hospitals, and then under pressure from communities, he backed off. This June, Horizon announced that the ER at the Sackville Memorial Hospital would have reduced services on weekends for the summer. In September, these evening and overnight ER closures were extended indefinitely and became every single day. On Friday afternoon, residents in my riding were blindsided with an email announcing the closure of acute care beds. Instead of attacking six communities, it appears this government is carrying out the same plan just in Sackville. Is this a trial for other rural hospitals, Mr. Speaker? Where is the urgency to fix these problems? What is the Minister of Health's plan to return equitable health care to the residents of Memramcook Tantramar through 24/7 emergency room and acute care services?
The Honourable the Premier.
Mr. Speaker, what we see in terms of looking at the nurses and going through the contracts is they want more than just money, Mr. Speaker. They want to have a health system that's working. They want to have a lifestyle that they can have in their health care system so they can give the best care possible to the residents. What Horizon has done here, Mr. Speaker, in Sackville is truly unfortunate but necessary. They looked at this. We're not making the decisions in relation to what opens, what doesn't. They're looking at how do they provide safe health care for residents. And, Mr. Speaker, the decision of safe health care for residents was we can't staff this the way we should be. And so they make these decisions, Mr. Speaker, in the best interest of all New Brunswickers. And what we have to do here is recognize why do we need to make these decisions? Why has Horizon or Vitality come forward with changes? And what do we do to get it fixed, Mr. Speaker? It didn't happen overnight. It won't get fixed overnight. As the Minister was talking about the changes in the hiring, there's more to it, Mr. Speaker. It's about managing doing things differently, because we must. And we will continue to look at ways to do that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Friday, December 10th. As always, we hope you'll get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.